no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday. Find it at RelicRadio.com alongside thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all the other podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio. Our first story this week is from The Big Story. It's titled The Deadline Murder. This one aired May 19th, 1948. After that, it's The Cavalcade of America and The Hated Hero of 1776. That episode aired September 27th, 1943.
Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes presents The Big Story.
Headquarters.
Police?
Yeah.
This is Walt Kramer, the grain inspector.
Yeah.
I was just shortcutting back from Cedar Lake across the city dump.
Yeah, so?
Well, I just saw a pair of silk stockings sticking up out of the dump.
Yeah?
Yeah. The thing is, there was legs in them. A woman's legs.
The Big Story. Here is a man. Its sound and its fury, its joy and its sorrow, as faithfully reported by the men and women of the great American newspapers. Minneapolis, Minnesota. From the pages of the Minneapolis Morning Tribune, the headline story of a murder victim who was buried alive. Tonight, to Ralph K. Mills of the Minneapolis Morning Tribune, goes the Pall Mall Award for The Big Story. Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding. The longer, finer cigarette in the distinguished red package, Pall Mall.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed how many of your friends have changed to Pall Mall? There's a reason. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes.
Good to look at.
Good to feel.
Good to taste.
And good to smoke.
Yes, there's one cigarette that's really different. Really outstanding. Pall Mall. For Pall Mall's greater length of traditionally fine, mellow tobaccos, filters the smoke of this longer, finer cigarette. Gives you that smoothness, mildness, and satisfaction no other cigarette offers you.
Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding.
Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild.
And now the story as it actually happened. Ralph K. Mills' story as he lived it. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Your name? Ralph K. Mills. Your paper? The Minneapolis Morning Tribune. Your beat? Well, that's your particular squawk this particular night of April 29th. Because you're supposed to be working out of the city room, and instead, you're on substitute duty down at police headquarters. You thought you'd graduated from there long ago. But no, here you are back in the cops and robbers department. As for your big story, well, you don't know it, but there's one cooking. It starts way back. Back before you even joined the paper. Like this.
How many times do I have to tell you not to slam that door when you come in?
I'm sorry.
Sorry. That's all you ever say. And then you go right ahead and do it all over again.
I said I was sorry. It wasn't my fault. The spring's busted.
Well, why don't you fix it?
I will.
Promises.
Oh, lay off of me, will you, honey?
Don't you honey me.
I was on
it. You make me sick. Come on, let's go out and get something to eat.
Go out?
I just came in. Oh, golly, I thought...
Now what? Now what have I done?
Well, we're always going out to eat. Can't we ever stay home once in a while?
Stay home? When do we ever go out? When do you ever take me out?
Oh, that's not fair. Well, last week
Never mind, never mind. Forget it. I'll go out in the kitchen and make your old supper.
Look, let's not keep squabbling, huh?
No.
Golly, everything used to be so nice. Everything used to
be... Never mind, never mind. Just go inside. Take your shoes off, dear. Read your paper, dear. Yeah, when everything's ready, you'll be fast asleep. I know.
Look, it isn't as if you'd had other things to do all day. Is it asking too much for a guy to want dinner when he comes home? Is that asking too much? Just a little peace and quiet around the place? Do you have to pick fights with me all the time? Oh, honey.
Hand me the can opener.
Listen to me, will
you? What do you want? Beans with pork or without?
Listen to
with
me.
With or without? What do you want?
Just a little peace and quiet around the house.
Go ahead. Get sore.
Who's sore? I'm just trying to make some sense here.
Oh, I know that tone of voice. I can tell. You get so noble, so high and mighty. You make me sick. You make me just plain sick.
Got no aspirin tablet yourself.
Very clever.
You know, someday I'm really going to get sore.
That's right. Threaten me.
Good and sore someday. One of us is going to be very sorry.
Are you trying to scare me?
No. I'm just telling you. You keep this up. You keep nagging the daylights out of me. You keep yapping at me. Yap, yap, yappity, yap, yap, yap. You keep it up and so help me, I'll...
You're what? You're what? You have to slam that door all the time!
Honey, you home? Honey? Hey! Ah, that woman. Bartender, my wife's been in here tonight?
Yeah, here and gone, friend. Here and gone.
Ah, nuts. For the last time, you coming home with me?
For the last time, no. No, 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 no!
Okay. Don't bother coming home. Ever.
Nothing of that can you know. You, Ralph K. Mills, police reporter for the Minneapolis Morning Tribune, do not have a backward-looking crystal ball. All you know is that it's a pretty average Friday night down at police headquarters. And average means dull. The desk sergeant's got a call. Probably the same old routine. Nothing.
Headquarters. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so? Yeah?
Nothing, huh? Not the way he rushed into the other room. And out comes your friend, Detective Peterson, with this.
You say you had a date tonight, Ralph?
Yeah, and a deadline. Why?
You got another date now, you and me.
Where?
Down at the city dump.
Very funny. With who?
A corpse. In silk stockings. You coming? Hold the shoveling. That does it.
What a beating she took.
Yeah.
Any idea who she is, Peterson?
No identifying marks, labels, torn off the clothes.
Uh-huh. Safe and calling it murder?
Sure.
Say, Doctor...
Yes?
Can you add anything? Can you give me anything more on the cause of death beyond the beating, that is?
Yes.
What's that, sir?
This woman has dirt in her mouth and in her throat. Yes. Proving.
Uh-huh.
Proving she was alive when she was put here.
Buried alive? Where's the nearest phone? I've got to call the paper.
That'll have to hold you for the fast mail edition, George.
Yes, sir, Ralph. You'll stick with it, huh?
Oh, sure.
But don't set your heart on an identification by the next deadline or a solution for the final edition, complete with killer attached.
Could be done.
Sure, by Sherlock Holmes, the FBI, to... Hey, the man is serious. Look, George, this one will go down in the books marked unsolved, believe me.
Never can tell. Just you stay with it. After all, you've got a whole hour till the next deadline.
An hour? Might as well be a week. Remember, George, what I've got is a press card, not a crystal ball.
Well, Sarge, I've gone through all the files. What have I found? Nothing.
Oh. You try the Rogues Gallery, Mills?
Back to the year one. No soap. Petty crimes, no soap.
How about missing person?
Oh, nothing there either. Oh, except this.
Huh?
You think this picture looks like the dead one?
Nope.
Neither did I much. Oh, what do they want from a guy? Miracles? They sit in an office downtown at... Hey, what time is it?
1:45.
Oh, 15 minutes till the page closes. What have I got? Twice what I phoned in. Twice nothing. What was the woman just came in with Peter?
I don't know.
I think I'll see what goes on.
Right this way, lady. Won't take long.
What's the story, Peter?
Looks like identification, Ralph. She saw your story in the paper and told the cop on the beach she thought she knew the woman.
Who is she?
Neighbor. Now, Mrs. Stiles, what was that woman's name again?
Mrs. Crespi. Mrs. Sadie Crespi.
What makes you think the murdered woman is your neighbor, ma'am?
Well, I don't know. I just have a feeling. She hasn't been home for days. Neither has her husband. They, had a fight. They were always fighting.
I see.
Right here, Miss Stiles. This door.
Oh.
A word from you is all we need. Are you all right?
Yes.
Well, this way, please. Ready, ma'am?
Yes.
Is that your neighbor? Mrs. Cressley?
Well,
take your time. Be sure.
Yes? Look. Oh, her face. She's so... No, I mean, yes.
Mrs. Stiles.
Yes. Yes, that's her.
When the door opens, Ralph, let me do the talking.
Sure.
Peterson from police headquarters. Does a Mr. Cressley live here?
Yes.
Is he home?
Not right now.
Expect him back?
Why, yes. Would you like to come in and wait?
Yes. Who are you?
Me?
Yes.
Why, I'm Mrs. Cressley, his wife.
We'll be back in just a moment with tonight's big story, but first a word from Cy Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed how many of your friends have changed to Pall Mall? There's a reason. Pall Mall famous cigarettes.
Good to look at.
Good to feel.
Good to taste.
And good to smoke.
Yes, there's one cigarette that's really different. Really outstanding. Pall Mall.
When you pick up a Pall Mall, you can see the difference, you can feel the difference. And when you smoke a Pall Mall, you can taste the difference.
For Pall Mall's greater length of traditionally fine, mellow tobaccos filters the smoke of this longer, finer cigarette. Gives you that smoothness, mildness, and satisfaction no other cigarette offers you. Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding. The longer, finer cigarette in the distinguished red package. Pall Mall famous cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild. Now, we return you to our narrator, Bob Sloan, and the big story of Ralph K. Mills.
as he lived it and wrote it.
A fine thing. Covering police headquarters for the Minneapolis Morning Tribune, you, Ralph K. Mills, have a blonde corpse turn up in time for the first edition. A person unknown, murdered by person or persons unknown. And the city desk hopes for the who and the buy whom for the final edition. And you've just followed a false trail to the bitter end. Just another case of mistaken identity. So what do? Step one, you call the desk.
A mistake, George. The woman who identified the corpse was wrong. I'm sorry.
It wasn't your fault, Ralph.
Any ideas?
Didn't you say before you thought you'd found the picture of a missing woman who...
Yeah, but the desk cop and I agreed it wasn't the dead one.
Well, just the same, the woman was wrong just now. Couldn't you be? What was the date she disappeared?
1935. The name was Ruth M. Corneau.
Well, she could have changed in all those years. So backtrack. Everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah, I know. That's why they put erasers on lead pencils. And tonight, my pencil is all erased. Blackstone, Collins, Compton, Copley, Corneau. Ruth M. Corneau, reported missing by husband.
Mm-hmm. Talking to yourself, Rolf?
I don't know. Look, Sarge, this Corneau woman we tossed out of the running before. Anything else on her? Charges, complaints?
Corneau? Let's see. Yeah. Here it is. Corneau. Oh, no. This is a man. Peter Corneau.
Go on.
Arrested on complaint of his wife, Ruth M.
That's the one? For what? What for?
You're going to love this, Ralph. Assault.
Hello?
Joe Lopez?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lopez, this is Ralph Mills down at headquarters.
What's with headquarters? I'm in trouble?
No, sir. I'm from the Morning Tribune. I'm checking on somebody who used to live in your boarding house.
Huh?
Can I ask you three questions?
I don't know.
Just three simple yes or no questions, okay?
Okay. Three.
Okay. Do you remember a couple named Corneau, Peter and Ruth?
Yes. That's one.
Good. Do you know where they are now?
Him? No. Her, she ran away from him. Kicks around restaurants, clubs, you know.
That's two. Three. Would you know her if you saw her?
I guess so. They owe me back rent.
Well, would you come down to headquarters?
You say three questions. No.
This is Detective Peterson, Lopez. Will you come downtown to identify a body?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Lopez. Take your time, Mr. Lopez, be sure. Well?
Don't look like I'm gonna get my back rent. I guess.
For the identification, you say goodbye to Detective Peterson until later. You make the 11:30 edition by a replayed and a whisker. The murdered woman is Ruth M. Corneau, and it's definitely established that she is separated from her husband under conditions of mutual dislike, to put it mildly. And so, you have the victim, the motive, and the problem of finding suspect number one, the husband. Then on your own, you start checking all over town. But while you walk the jukebox and neon trail, the husband is being questioned down in Florida.
Private First Class Peter Corneau reporting to Captain Carroll as directed.
That is, Corneau. You're a Minneapolis boy, Private?
Yes, sir.
Ever in trouble with the police?
Nothing serious, sir.
I'm instructed by Detective Peterson of the Minneapolis Police to tell you that anything you tell me may be held against you. He just called me.
I see, sir.
You married, Corneau?
Separated, sir. Sir,
later. Where were you last night?
On pass, sir. I reported to duty at Reveille today.
Where'd you go?
Fishing, sir.
Can you prove it?
The men I was with can, sir.
You didn't leave the state of Florida?
On an overnight pass, sir.
All right. You say you're separated from your wife?
Yes, sir.
Prepare yourself for a shock. Last night, she was murdered.
I see.
What's that, man?
I said I knew somebody would someday.
You want another pass?
Excuse me, sir?
I said, do you want me to write you a 3-day pass for her funeral?
No. No, thanks, sir.
Suspect eliminated. And there you are, looking for him in the local bars. But at one, you learn about this tasteful little incident from a bar girl.
He used to pal around, Ruthie and me. But she was kind of hard, you know. Everybody was just another sucker for her. Well, money, you know. So one night, we was here, her and I. All of a sudden, she leaves me flat and goes outside. Goes tearing through the door. And I follow her just in time to see her crash into
something. Hey, why don't you walk where you're looking?
Oh, I'm sorry, lady.
You're sorry? Look at my stockings. You ruined my stockings. Sorry, that's all I ever hear is sorry. You knocked the lips off my shoes.
I said I was sorry. As for the shoes, I'll drive you home, okay?
In what, a bus? Hit the road.
Okay, have it your way.
Watch where you're. Hey, wait a minute. Is this your car, or did you just drive it for somebody?
Hey, it's my car. I drive it for myself.
Well, why didn't you say so? Home, James.
The name is Carson. Wally Carson. And talk nice, Blondie. Hey, you're not bad looking at all. Where'd you say you wanted to go?
You're not bad looking either for a guy who picks girls up by knocking them down.
I said, talk nice, baby. Where to, sis? Do you want to ride? Home?
No. I want to ride. Let's go someplace and have some fun. Huh?
While the bar girl's telling this, you check your watch. A half hour to final deadline. You're coming closer. Very close. All you need now is...
What'd you say the name of that pickup guy was?
Wally Carson. You're running him steady after that.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I'm going to try another bar, but... Here, buy yourself a drink. With something in it to drink for a change.
Well, like I said, everything's going nice and quiet when this blonde...
Cornell?
Yeah. She comes in and takes over the end of the bar. Now, I'd seen her husband come and drag her out, then I seen him tell her not to come home, and... I don't want that kind of trade. This is a home type bar.
I know.
What? Oh. She's feeling fine, no pain at all, drinking up some guy's Dorothy, and... I'm wondering how I can get rid of her quiet when all of a sudden somebody does it for me. A door opens and in walks this guy, Carson.
Ruthie.
Somebody call me? Oh, it's you.
It's me, all right. Where you been the last 2 days?
Who wants to know?
I want to know.
You want to know? You own me or something? Stop pushing me around.
Who push who around? You make up to me? You take me for everything I got? And you call that me pushing you around? Come on, you're getting out of here.
Ah, your meat is running.
Come on.
I like it here.
I said get out now. Come on.
You cheap square, you mate. Go on, hit the road. You get out of here. You let me go. Take your hands off me. Who do you think you're pushing around? Let go of me. How do you think you are pulling me around like this?
That's it. Me, it's none of my business. I would have paid him to take her away, anybody. And that's all.
Uh-huh. When did you say this was?
Well, didn't I tell you? Only last night it was. Just last night.
That is it. Motive and man. Wally Carson, last man to see Ruth Corno alive. A check on the city directory gives you his address. call to Peterson, and you have a good cop with you. One short ride, and you have 10 minutes to go to the final deadline with your story on the other side of this door. Peterson unbuttons the flap on his holster. You shift a little behind him. You never can tell.
Nobody home, you think?
I don't know. Here, take the gun. Cover me. Stand back. I'll force the door.
Holy. That's shambles. Look at the blood on the wall.
Carson! Watch at the other room. Carson, come out with you.
Pete, look. There's a note in the couch.
Don't touch it.
Okay to read it?
Go ahead.
Dear Mother. Dear Mother? I'm sorry. We had a terrific fight. I loved her and I couldn't stand to lose her. But I couldn't hold her. I guess nobody could. Money in watch pocket for rent. I'm going away. Hope we meet soon. Phone the coop. Can I use the phone?
You're sure, and you can read them the note, too.
Thanks. You know, there's something about this note. Money in watch pocket. Money in watch pocket. Hey, he expects to be found. What's that door lead to? Closet. What's this one?
Leads to the garage. Come on, the front way.
Locked.
From the inside.
Wait a minute. Listen.
Engine's running.
He gets down on his knees. So do you. You sniff at the bottom of the door. You both say one word. No. Two.
Curl. I'm on my next.
In just a moment, we'll read you a telegram from Ralph K. Mills of the Minneapolis Morning Tribune with the final outcome of tonight's big story. The cigarette that's really different. The longer, finer cigarette that's really outstanding. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Good to look at.
Good to feel.
Good to taste.
And good to smoke.
Yes, Pall Malls are good to look at, good to feel, good to taste, and good to smoke. Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding. The longer, finer cigarette in the distinguished red package. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild.
Now we read you that telegram from Ralph K. Mills of the Minneapolis Morning Tribune.
On entering garage, we found that killer in tonight's big story had escaped beyond the law by committing suicide. Solution of case came at 3 a.m., 9 hours after start of investigation, and in time for the final edition. Many thanks for tonight's Pall Mall Award.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. The makers of Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes are proud to have named you the winner of the Pall Mall $500 Award for notable service in the field of journalism.
Listen again next week, same time, same station, when Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes will present another big story. A big story from the front pages of the Mobile, Alabama Press Register. Byline, George Cox. A big story about a murder, an escape, and a manhunt.
The Big Story is produced by Bernard J. Proctor, with music by Vladimir Selinsky. Tonight's program was written by Alan Sloan. Your narrator was Bob Sloan, and Art Carney played the part of Ralph K. Mills. In order to protect the names of people actually involved in tonight's authentic big story, the names of all characters in the dramatization were changed with the exception of the reporter, Mr. Mills. This is Ernest Chappell speaking for the makers of Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont, maker of better things for better living through chemistry, presents Basil Rathbone in The Hated Hero of 1776 with Ruth Warwick. Tonight, with Basil Rathbone as its star, Cavalcade retells the story of a man who loved freedom more than any other thing in life. He was Thomas Paine. Our play, written by Raphael Hayes and Robert L. Richards, is based on the best-selling novel by Howard Fast, Citizen Tom Paine. Cavalcade presents Basil Rathbone with Ruth Warwick in The Hated Hero of 1776 on The Cavalcade of America.
...1775, and the martial beat of drums, the relentless beat of marching troops echoes from one end to the other of the 13 colonies of America. For in the minds of men, in the fall of 1775, confusion, doubt, uncertainty. Is it to be peace or war? Is it to be a policy of appeasement and reconciliation? Or is it to be rebellion, armed, bloody, and uncompromising revolution? And then, across the land, is heard a voice...
Bring the doctrine of reconciliation to the touchstone of nature, and then tell me whether you can hereafter love, honor, and faithfully serve the power that hath carried fire and sword into your land.
The voice is the voice of Tom Paine, and what he wrote is common sense. A thing to stir the hearts of his countrymen as nothing else would stir them in 100 years.
But if you say you can still pass the violations over, then I ask, hath your house been burned, your property destroyed, your wife and children destitute? Have you lost a parent or a child? If you have not, then you are not a judge of those who have. But if you have, and can still shake hands with the murderers, then you are not worthy of the name of husband, father, friend, or lover. You have the heart of a coward and the spirit of a sycophant.
The home of George Robideau in the Philadelphia of 1775 was much like any American home in time of crisis. The debates, the questions, the arguments, the voices of the weak and of the strong. And the debate tonight in the home of George Robideau, as in 100,000 homes throughout the land, is on Tom Paine's common sense. With old Robideau was his niece, Irene, her young brother, Jamie, and an admirer, Mr. Jackson.
It isn't your objectives I'm opposed to, Mr. Robideau. It's the method.
And who isn't, Mr. Jackson?
Bloodshed, burning, and pillage throughout the whole countryside.
But it's gone too far to back up now.
Well, it wouldn't have, if it weren't for men like Thomas Paine. Why, the man's bloodthirsty.
Tom Paine? Why, he's the kindest, gentlest man who ever lived.
You know this Thomas Paine?
Yes, we know him. Irene knows him perhaps as well as anyone ever can. He's a strange fellow.
A rival, Irene?
Hardly that, I should say. I admire him.
Who could help but admire him? He's got the courage to speak the truth. And that's more than can be said for a lot of our fancy friends.
Jamie, darling, please.
I don't care. It's true. And what Mr. Paine wrote is true. We've got to fight. And the sooner we all find it out, the better.
I know, dear. Perhaps someone will have to fight, but it's just that I hate to hear you talk that way. You're my little brother.
I'm not so much younger than you, Irene. And if I'm old enough to get married next week, I'm old enough to say what I think.
Well, wonder who that could be.
Were you expecting someone, Irene?
Well, I'd...
Mr. Thomas Paine, sir.
Tom, come in.
Thank you, sir. But it must be only for a moment. Good evening, Irene. Jamie?
Good evening, Tom. This is a friend of mine, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Paine.
How do you do, Mr. Paine? We were just speaking of you.
Not too unkindly, I hope.
Can't you stay a while, Tom, or are you off somewhere again?
I must be, I'm afraid. I wanted to pay my respects and say goodbye to you all.
Well, Tom, where are you going?
To New Jersey, to join Washington's army.
The army? Oh, Tom.
Are you surprised, Irene?
No, I don't think I am.
Mr. Payne, why must it be this way? Why must there be armies in a ravaged countryside and sorrow in every home?
Because, sir, while men may be reasonable, tyranny is not.
Mr. Payne.
Yes, Jamie?
Will we win?
Jamie, when a man is born hunger and humiliation and oppression until he can bear it no longer, when the wrath of a plain, peace-loving people is at last kindled into flame under a tyrant's lash, nothing under heaven can stand before it. It will burn and devour and rage until the evil that provoked it is consumed. And out of it will rise a vision, a way of living among men. Yes, Jamie, we will win.
Yes. Now I know we will.
Well, I've talked too much again. Forgive me, it's late.
God be with you, Tom. Come back and see us.
I shall. Goodbye to you all, Mr. Jackson.
Good day, sir.
Mr. Payne.
Yes, Jamie?
I'm going with you.
Jamie.
No, my
I don't care what you say. If it's worth talking about, it's worth fighting for.
Jamie.
Don't you want me to come?
Jamie, you're to be married next week.
Yes?
Marry her, then. Talk it over with your wife and with Irene and your uncle, and think very seriously what it means. Then, if you still want to come, we'll all be waiting for you.
Yes, sir.
Good night again.
Good night, Tom.
Good night.
I'll see you to the door,
Thank
Tom.
Thank you.
Well, Tom.
Goodbye, Irene.
Tom, before you go.
Yes.
Will you kiss me goodbye?
Irene. Oh, my darling.
Oh, Tom, why must it be like this? You've done enough. No one could expect more of you than you've done.
You heard what Jamie said?
Yes, and I heard what you answered him. You told him to marry.
I don't pretend to demand of everyone what I demand of myself.
Perhaps it's because I'm a woman. And a woman thinks of the future, Tom. A future life.
Irene, there can be no future life unless men are willing to die for it.
Tom Payne, come in, man, come in. You look like a ghost.
George, I've got to have 100 pounds of paper stock. There's a pamphlet I've misprint, and no printer will touch it unless I supply the paper.
Tom, when did you eat last?
Oh, I don't know. 2 days ago, I think. Will you buy me the paper stock?
2 days, you think? Are you mad?
Will you buy me the paper stock?
Irene?
Yes, Uncle?
It's Tom Payne. Get some hot food.
Tom, you're back.
Irene.
He'll stay with us for a few days, Irene.
Can't you understand, man? Philadelphia's threatened. That pamphlet of mine has got to rally the whole people now. Can't you understand? We are near the end of everything. Buy me that paper.
Uncle, please.
Stay out of this, please, Irene.
Robidoux, I've come a long way. Maybe I am a little sick, too, but what's that compared with what's happening in the snow on the Delaware? We're so close to the end, man. We can't lose now. We mustn't.
Payne, I... All right, I'll get you your paper now. Sometimes you... Well, stay here with Irene. I'll go see Rittenhouse.
Tom, tell me, how's Jamie? We've heard not a word.
Oh. I'm a thoughtless wretch, Irene. I might have known you wanted some news of Jamie. He's well.
Truly?
Far better than some thousands of other poor devils.
Oh, the retreat must have been a terrible thing.
Aye. All ruin and blood in the churned-up snow. Common sight. So was the one of grown men weeping. That was the hardest sound to bear, Irene. Grown men crying. God! An army rotting down to 800 men. And people still eating and sleeping and laughing.
Tom, you're ill. Why don't you stay here and rest?
Here? In the same house with you?
Yes, in the same house with me.
Would you so entrap me then, Irene?
Come away with me now, Tom. You've done enough. There's still time for us.
Irene... Will you believe me if I tell you But there's nothing on this earth I'd rather do. If I but had the choice.
Then why not, Tom?
No, Irene. There's too much to do yet. There's a war that's part of my making, and there's a crisis now.
Do you think a pamphlet will stop it?
I don't know. A man does his best, that's all. And writing's the thing I do best of all. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of their country. But he who stands it now deserves the thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Oh, let it be told to the future world that in the depths of winter, when nothing but hope and virtue could survive, that the city and the country, alarmed at one common danger, came forth to meet and repulse it. I call not upon one, but upon all.
And Philadelphia did not fall. And throughout the land, the cause held that winter and spring. And in the hot summer of 1778, another American army waited near Brandywine Creek, waiting for the king's men. But the farmers and the shopkeepers still made mistakes and blunders. And General Howe's men slashed the new army to pieces, cut it and routed it. The road to Philadelphia was open to the enemy. And in the city, there was panic. Even old George Robideau was preparing to flee the city with his family.
If you can't get it in the cart, leave it, for heaven's sake.
George Robideau, what's got into your man?
We're packing up and leaving, that's what.
But you can't go. We can hold the city.
Leave us alone, Payne. We know what we're doing.
We've got to go, don't you see, Tom?
You expect us to stay and swing from a gallows, Tories at our backs and redcoats in front of us?
Jackson, our city's the best fortress in the world. Every street's a death trap. We can break the enemy like a stick of wood.
Are you mad? Even Congress has pulled out.
1,000 men. That's all we need, 1,000 men.
Don't be a fool, Tom. Come along, Irene. Come
on. All right, then, run for cover.
I'll catch up with you, Uncle George.
You'd better go too, Irene.
Tom, listen to me.
What is it, Irene?
Look at me. Look at my face, Tom Payne. I'll never ask it again. Come away with me, out of all of this.
Irene, no. Not even for you.
For me? When have you ever thought of me? You've taken my brother from me. You've taken yourself, and now my home's a battlefield. Oh, Tom, can't we have just a little happiness before it's too late?
Irene, look at me. You see me what I am. You know me. A pamphleteer, a revolutionist. What kind of happiness would you have with me?
Can't you let me be the judge of that?
Tom Payne.
Aye, Ben, here. What is it?
A Tory mob has been through the north part of town. They got an old man. We got there too late. Peters was his name. He was with Washington on Long Island.
Peters? I remember him well.
We want to give his poor old bones a decent burial before the redcoats get here. Will you help us?
Where is he, Ben?
Out toward the Baltimore Pike.
Tom!
Goodbye, Irene.
Will you leave me now just to bury one poor old Continental soldier?
I must, Irene. For in that grave, but for the grace of God, lies someone that you love.
Will you say something, Tom?
A speech?
It's a lonely place down there till Judgment Day.
Well, this old man died for something that was new in his lifetime. A thing called liberty. When he was a young man, it was only a dream. And when he came to give his life for the dream of his youth, he had not much more life left to give. Yet perhaps he cherished it the more for that. Certainly he could not have given more. And in that gift, John Peters will live. For men in centuries to come, who do not even know his name, will do him honor as they honor liberty. Lower him now, Ben. cover his grave.
You are listening to the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont and tenting Basil Rathbone in The Hated Hero of 1776. Ruth Warwick plays opposite Mr. Rathbone. The time of our play is the darkest days of the war for American independence, when the cause of liberty seemed lost. Philadelphia was in the hands of the enemy. Bitterly, Tom Paine again took the long road out of Philadelphia, searching for a shattered army. And in the winter, he found them, freezing to death at Valley Forge.
He began asking for you, Tom, as soon as he heard you were in Valley Forge.
Jamie Roberts.
He took a bed a fortnight ago, and he's been lying in that filthy hovel ever since. There's nowhere else to take him, Tom.
A child.
Aye, a child. And a soldier.
Does he know about the city, Ben?
You'll forgive me, Tom. You see, his wife was there.
I know.
What good would the truth have done? I told him we've got Philadelphia back.
I understand.
Here, this is it. There's a bit of a lighted candle on the ledge inside the door.
Thank you, Ben. I'll do whatever I can for him.
Tom.
Yes?
Don't let him know.
I won't.
Who's there?
It's only me, laddie. Tom Paine, fresh out of Philadelphia.
Mr. Paine. Come close. The light's bad in here.
How are you feeling, Jamie?
Poorly. Tom, tell me about Philadelphia. Did you see my wife?
She's doing fine, Jamie. I had quite a chat with her before I left the city. A bit lonely, aye, but she'll be glad to see you when you get home.
Aye. If I ever get home.
Why, are you mad, Jamie? We'll both be back before the month of February blows itself out.
What's inside my chest? Says different, Tom. Oh, it's hot. Hot.
Lie still, Jamie. Lie still. He'll throw your blankets off.
Mary. Mary.
Jamie, lad.
Huh? Oh, Tom. How is Irene?
Irene is well.
Will you marry her, Tom? One day.
Perhaps. One day.
Tom.
Yes, Jamie?
Will you write a letter for me? There's pen and ink under the bed.
Surely, Jamie. Here, I have it. And there's a bit of paper in it. And there's a bit of paper in the pocket. Well, now, what will you say?
I don't know. My dearly beloved wife. I sit here in the light of a candle, thinking of you. And I can see you clearly as a picture, standing there before the little glass, combing your long brown hair. Your fine, long brown hair. Thinking your long brown hair.
Ned. Jamie.
Give me your hand, Tom Paine.
Surely. Do you want some water, lad?
I'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow. At noon.
Jamie.
Tom, are you in here?
I in the dark.
It was a short candle. A bit of a thing. Burned out on you, eh?
I burned out on me.
How's the lad?
Dead.
Oh. May his soul rest easily. Will you come out, Tom?
How can I?
What?
He's still holding my hand.
And it's like all the dead in this war holding it. How can I leave go, Ben? How can I leave go?
But in the spring, the plowboys and the shopkeepers flocked to the encampment at Valley Forge, and the 4,000 starved veterans swelled to 12,000 men. And at Monmouth, Washington and the Continental Army smashed the King's men. Back to Philadelphia rode Tom Paine, back with a heavy heart to the home of his old friend, George Robideau.
Is this the house, Tom?
This is the house, Ben.
Will you be long?
I'd like to hope I shall, but I hardly think so, Ben.
Perhaps it would be better that I wait outside.
I didn't want to ask you.
I know.
Well, then.
I'll be here about somewhere.
Thank you, Ben. Is Miss Irene at home?
Miss Irene?
Yes. Mr. Robideau's niece.
Yes, sir. This way, if you please. Mr. Thomas Paine.
Tom, you did come back.
Did you think I would not, Irene?
Tom, what of Jamie?
I came to tell you that, Irene.
He's dead.
He was a good soldier. He died as a soldier should.
And there was no word of him for so long, I knew. Oh, Tom, he was only a child.
I'm sorry that I had to come to you with news like this.
I knew it had to happen from that first day, when he wanted to go with you.
Do you blame me, Irene?
No, Tom, I don't blame you. Not any longer. We've all changed in these years. Changed and been hurt and learned. Now I know you were right.
We can't all see the truth at the same instant, Irene.
Tom, do you remember Frank Jackson?
Frank Jackson? Yes, he wanted you to marry him.
He changed too, Tom. He joined the militia after we lost Philadelphia. He fought at Monmouth. He admires you very much.
He is very kind. Perhaps one day I shall see him and can say so.
Tom, I married him.
Married?
Tom, don't you understand? It was the only way I knew to cling to life. In the midst of all the horror, it was like the promise that you yourself were fighting for. That life can never end, that men can never die. Oh, I had to have that promise, Tom.
Do you love him?
Yes, I think I do.
Irene, I can't stay.
Tom, please, please don't condemn me.
How could I condemn you?
Then you'll come back to see us soon?
Yes, of course, of course.
Oh, Tom.
Goodbye, Irene.
Goodbye, Tom.
And God bless you both.
Well, Tom, was it as you thought?
In a way, Ben, yes, in a way.
Well, come and have a drink with me in any case.
No, Ben, I'll be off.
Off? Where to, man, at this time?
I don't know. Maybe near, maybe far.
You mean you're going away, Tom?
It's all over now, Ben. The city is the people's now. There's nothing here.
Are you mad?
The revolution's all but won, Ben. Nothing can stop it now. There'll be no more Valley Forges, no more retreats. Our liberty's won. Who needs a pamphleteer now?
But, Tom...
And the world's a wide place. Room enough to find a home in.
But your home's here, Tom. You've said it yourself, where freedom is.
No, Ben. That's not what I said. Where freedom is not, there is my home.
Thank you, Basil Rathbone. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rathbone will return to the microphone in just a few moments. Meanwhile, here is Gain Whitman with a message from DuPont.
Tom Paine used quill and paper to convey the truth to the people of his time. Today, our enemies are learning the indisputable truth with the aid of science. News dispatches from neutral Switzerland tell of growing disillusionment inside Nazi Germany. For instance, quote,
With amazement, the people realize they have been systematically misled by the Nazi Party. Unquote. One way they are learning is through photographs. Our planes or the British make a bombing raid. The German propaganda department says we didn't hit anything. But the next day, our planes fly over the Reich and drop thousands of tiny photographs. Photographs that show the actual damage. The Nazis may tell lies, but our photographs tell the truth. People in faraway corners of Germany learn what has happened to Hamburg and Cologne because we show them these pictures. The camera in this war has become a weapon of increasing value. Cameras used in modern warplanes must be able to take pictures while traveling through the air at the terrific speeds attained by military aircraft today. They must be able to operate at temperatures around 60 degrees below zero and withstand changes in pressure, temperature, and humidity as the photography planes dodge up and down through clouds and changing weather. German and Italian cities are photographed in broad daylight, at high noon, in fact, when shadows are least bothersome. Maps showing every street and house can be prepared from the photos. Clean, sharp color photographs are made today from as high as 30,000 feet. From 3 miles up, pictures have been taken which are so clear that motorcycle troops on the roads can actually be counted. Using special film and equipment, pictures by invisible light, photographs can be made which show mountain ranges more than 100 miles away. Aerial photographers make these sensational long shots by using film treated with dyes, which make the emulsion sensitive to the red rays in sunlight. Photographs can even be made over enemy territory on the blackest night by dropping giant parachute flares that light an entire city. Moving picture cameras attached to fighter planes record the machine gun and cannon bursts blasting enemy planes, locomotives, and seagoing craft. Such pictures are used in instructing new pilots in dogfighting and strafing. Both the Army and the Navy are using many thousands of feet of DuPont film in wartime and peacetime. One of the DuPont, better things for better living through chemistry.
Of the many peacetime products made by DuPont, one that is still available to the public is Speed Easy Wall Paint. In these days when time is so precious, redecorating can be done more quickly, easily, and economically by using DuPont Speed Easy Wall Paint. Speed Easy is quicker because it dries in an hour, easier because it goes on so fast with brush or handy roller. It is economical because one coat covers soiled walls or dingy wallpaper. This fall, save time and money with Speed Easy, made by DuPont. And here is the star of tonight's cavalcade, Basil Rathbone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's play serves to remind us of man's long, bitter fight for freedom. Just as that ragged army of the Revolution spent its blood and substance for precious liberty, we today are fighting to perpetuate that freedom. Our problems today in waging war are much the same as the problems in the days of Tom Paine, and the need for working together is even greater. Let's put over the third war loan. Call your local radio station and buy a war bond right now and an investment in liberty. Thank you.
Next week, Cavalcade brings you another popular star of the screen, John Garfield, in an original radio play based on the landing operations under fire of the United States Coast Guard in the invasion of Sicily. It is called Continue Unloading, and its hero is not a soldier, sailor, or a marine, but a Coast Guard photographer. DuPont invites you to be its guest again next week when we will bring you a story of a great U.S. Coast Guard cameraman in the greatest invasion force in history, photographing the landing of tanks, munitions, food, and freedom on the shores of Sicily. Our star will be John Garfield. Featured with Mr. Garfield will be Wally Mayer. Tonight's musical score was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Basil Rathbone appeared tonight on Cavalcade by courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Thousands Cheer. This is James Bannon sending best wishes from Cavalcade sponsor, the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware. The Cavalcade of America came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Don't forget to visit the website to find more from Cavalcade of America, The Big Story, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, you can donate through the website. Visit donate.relicradio.com or click on the link on the site. Your support makes all of this happen. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.